You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is Amber and Ian. No Ian tonight, though. Jonathan Zaslow is hanging out during this legal tampering period in the NFL. So legal, Zaslow. You cannot tamper until it's legal. But here we are. We got a 52-hour window where it is legal, baby.
That's right. And no one spoke before noon Eastern today.
No one.
There was no conversation being had. Those deals that were commenced a couple minutes after noon, they just... They knocked him out real quick. Nobody spoke before that.
It's totally normal to do a deal at 12.01 p.m. Eastern.
That's right.
When the legal tampering period starts at 12, and no one is none the wiser, Zaslow, that there was any conversation before noon. So don't accuse anyone of anything.
Nobody broke rules.
Was a-talking. Nobody broke rules until 12 p.m. Eastern, when, in fact, you could talk. That takes you to a 52-hour window that takes you up to actual free agency. Free agency begins March 13th. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Who isn't? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. So there was a ton that happened today at the start of this legal tampering period. Saquon Barkley, he angered a Barber brother very, very much.
Yeah.
He is now in Philadelphia. We will get into the Twitter beef between Saquon and Tiki. Christian Wilkins is on the Raiders. Our Dolphins are imploding all over the place.
We're such losers today.
Biggest losers. Biggest losers, our team, the Miami Dolphins. The Packers have Josh Jacobs. They don't have Aaron Jones. DeAndre Swift worked out a deal. There's all sorts of things that happened today, but probably none bigger than Kirk Cousins. He is headed to the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't just mean bigger from a football perspective because he's a quarterback and he's been a good quarterback for a lot of years in the NFL, but also bigger in terms of money. Because there is nobody in the NFL, Zaslow, who is a better businessman than this man. He might not be the best quarterback of all time. I feel like he's the best businessman of all time. Now, this latest deal for old Kirk, $50 million signing bonus, so that's going to be guaranteed, a $90 million guarantee over the next two seasons, an additional $10 million and guaranteed for 2026. This is $100 million total in guarantees on a four-year, $180 million contract with the Atlanta Falcons for a quarterback coming off of a devastating injury who is in his mid-30s and now on the wrong side of his mid-30s.
You know, Amber, Kirk Cousins, he's been a real game changer when it comes to free agency. If he winds up completing this deal, which, you know, we know that's a big if, all right? But if he winds up seeing all the money that has been, you know, promised to him in this deal, he will have made over $400 million in his career. Kirk Cousins.
No Super Bowls. Kirk Cousins.
He's a trailblazer when it comes to free agency in the National Football League. The way that he has gone about his business essentially since he was in Washington. And now he's going to make his third stop on a Falcons team, four-year deal, a Falcons team that seems like they're ready to win right now. It's so interesting, Amber, because this is only a trend that started within the last few years where starting caliber quarterbacks are available in the offseason. They were never available. If there's a quarterback who changed teams in an offseason, it's because he's guaranteed to be a backup. You didn't have a quarterback change a team to be a starter somewhere, or it was going to be a stopgap for a team that was selecting a rookie in the first round and kind of hold that place right there. Not for a team like Atlanta. And Kirk Cousins, who has had, I know, you know, how much success has he actually had is debatable, but a quarterback who has had success to be available like this in free agency, it's so interesting how the landscape of free agency when it comes to quarterback has changed in the National Football League over the last few years.
Right, and in large part because of him, and because he hasn't been scared to take it to that point to try to get more money. And traditionally speaking, quarterbacks were so afraid. They would just sign the extension with their team, right, and really sign what was in front of them. They were so afraid to get towards a point of free agency. And I think in large part because they would never get there. And I think in large part, too, because in that sport, of course, you're always scared about injury.
Yeah.
This is proof. This is proof that you can be, he's going to be 36 years old when the season starts. This is proof that you can be 36 years old coming off of a major injury.
Achilles.
And you are still going to get paid. If you're a decent quarterback, not an excellent quarterback, not an elite quarterback. Everyone thinks he's a good quarterback, right? Like good, solid, dependable quarterback. But I don't think anybody is saying that he's Tom Brady to your level quarterback. And yet here we are in terms of business. He is. And it just shows that you have to have the tenacity. It's funny with Kirk Cousins because I feel like he seems just such like an unassuming, you know, Midwestern good guy.
Yeah.
And he's a straight killer when it comes to these negotiations.
You know, and he's coming off the Achilles injury, which, and I think he'll be fine, by the way, but when I was younger, you know, what was it, 93, Marino suffered an Achilles injury. We thought his career may have been over, all right? And now, you know, medicine's obviously different now, but we used to think that a quarterback's career was over if he suffered an Achilles injury, and Kirk Cousins' deal just gave him almost $100 million at 35 years old coming off an Achilles injury. I think he's going to be fine, but if I'm a Falcon fan, I'm super excited about this. You have a very competent quarterback.
Marino was 32 years old
when
he tore his Achilles.
Yep.
We've seen now Kirk Cousins do it at 35. We've seen Aaron Rodgers do it at almost 40. It doesn't seem to matter anymore the way that science has progressed. Adam Schefter, he is our ESPN senior NFL insider. He was on FA Countdown SportsCenter special, and he discussed that he thinks that there's no price too high for Kirk Cousins.
I don't know that you can attach a price that is too much for a quarterback like Kirk Cousins. Very rarely does a quarterback of his caliber hit free agency, become an unrestricted free agent, have a chance to stabilize your franchise, step into a division where you could obviously make the argument he's the best quarterback in the division. He's going to have a chance to get the Falcons deep into the playoffs. Whatever price they paid, $100 million guaranteed, it's not too much for somebody that's going to mean so much to your program. And think about this also. We heard so much talk initially about Justin Fields going to Atlanta.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is Raheem Morris worked with Kirk Cousins in Washington.
Right.
He knows what he's getting. Zach Robinson knows that Kirk Cousins fits into that system. They wanted somebody to run the system that they had in L.A. They're taking that system, which Kirk Cousins has been a part of. They're taking it to Atlanta. And now Atlanta is transformed overnight with one acquisition.
I mean, I guess there's not a price too high if you think that you can really win something with that quarterback. Now, the Falcons, of course, they have weapons. They've got Drake London. They've got Bijan Robinson. They've got a good D-line. They've got a good O-line. I mean, it's a good, solid team. It was that quarterback position that had so many question marks. And Cousins is, before that injury, coming off of an excellent season in the 8 games he did play. He had a 63 QBR, which ranked 7th in the league, a 5% completion percentage over expectation. That is an NFL Next Gen stat that ranks 2nd best. That's a sign of accuracy. So there are advanced statistics that you can pull with Kirk Cousins before the injury, even at 35, even in his mid-30s, that he's still playing at a really high clip. And now he's going to be on a Falcons team, but with a new coach and still with a lot of questions, however, in a weak division. And clearly Atlanta's trying to capitalize on that.
I think that's a good thing to point out is it feels like a winnable division. Nobody's afraid of Carolina. New Orleans is a totally middling team. I know Tampa Bay, everybody's excited there. Mike Evans extension, Baker Mayfield. But let's call a spade a spade. They won 9 games this past year. I think they were 4-7 at 1.2, the Buccaneers, before they finished strong and won a playoff game. So I think that plays a role. And when Adam Schefter says he doesn't think it's possible to overpay a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, the point is it's not possible to overpay a quarterback like Kirk Cousins when you're plugging him into a team who you think can do winning right now. That's the key.
if you have the salary cap to do it. I mean, I do think it's entirely possible to overpay a 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles, who isn't the best quarterback of all time anyways. However, in this situation, you've got the cap space. You're able to make it happen. I guess why not take a flyer here and try to make it work? Certainly, the Falcons are doing that, and we will see if it works out and if they can compete in a weak division. Coming up next, you heard Zaslow mention there Baker Mayfield. He is remaining with the Tampa Bay Bucks. There was a bunch of other quarterback moves that were made on Sunday. Oh, yeah. We're going to get into those next here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Breaking in the NFL, Russell Wilson signing with the Steelers.
Russell Wilson doesn't go anywhere that he doesn't think that he isn't going to be the starter. Now, he's going to have to go and earn it, and he's going to have to play well. But Russell Wilson is ultra-confident in his abilities and what he will bring to that franchise.
This is good for Russ.
This will protect
him.
If
I was Russ in his camp, I am begging for this. I think this is a match made in heaven. Don't be surprised if you see Russell Wilson out there cooking and saying, Steelers fans, let's ride.
So Russell Wilson is now a Pittsburgh Steeler, which, not shocking if you've been following the news here over the last week. Obviously, a very publicized divorce with Denver a week ago, and he was talking to teams. This moved pretty quickly here. Zaz filling in tonight for Ian, Amber and Ian, presented by Progressive Insurance. This moved pretty quickly because he had the meeting with the Giants and the meeting with the Steelers, and it felt like, all right, this it's Pittsburgh all along, and it sure enough was. Signs for the cheap. We knew it was going to be on the cheap. He doesn't need the money. He's getting it from Denver either way.
Very extremely low risk, potentially high reward for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's such a no-brainer to me. And what also should have happened, what also likely happened in that meeting, apparently they met for 6 or so hours on Friday, and what had to have happened there in order for Russell Wilson not to even test the free agency starting today, the legal tampering window where nobody spoke before noon, they all got deals done beginning at noon. In order for Russell Wilson not to even test that, the Steelers had to have told him, you're the starter here if you sign. Otherwise, why would he have signed with the Steelers instead of trying to see one of these other teams, you know, for instance, the Atlanta Falcons, who ended up signing Kirk Cousins, or it could be Vegas, or it could be New England. The Steelers definitely told him, if you sign with us, you're the starter.
Yeah, they had to pay him $1.2 million on a vet min. There are all sorts of teams that would be interested in doing that. And certainly, like you said, there's no risk involved when you're the one coughing up a $1.2 million salary, because the Broncos are coughing up a whole lot more than that. And it was to his advantage to go ahead, survey the landscape, take as little money as possible. That was to his advantage.
All-time great petty move. Great petty move
right.
by Wilson.
He doesn't need the money, because it's coming from the Broncos. And also, it's like, no, pay me little as you can and still get away with it so that you can have more money to do more around me. And that's exactly what he was going to do for any team. In return, though, yes, he was going to want to be a starter, and he was going to get that opportunity in the NFL, obviously. People, I think, overstate how terrible Russell Wilson is. And I think some of it, the narrative that circled around him for the last few years, frankly, the way things obviously have gone in Denver, but the things that were said before that as well, coming out of Seattle there the last couple of years.
I think that was the tipping point, was the Seattle defensive players, when they started to talk about him while he was still successful in Seattle.
Right.
That, to me, was the kiss of death.
But it was all personality stuff. It wasn't, he's not good at being a quarterback, right? Because that was indisputable during all of those years.
Yeah, it was
Seattle.
He's a corporate guy. He's he's in the owner's ear. He tells the owner what we say
Hollywood.
In the locker room, that kind of deal.
Yeah, and none of that really has much to do with, frankly, what we saw in the decade in Seattle in terms of what he was actually doing on the football field. He was excellent. And yes, we're talking about a Super Bowl champ, an MVP, and all the other awards that he won when he was there, and all the Pro Bowls and all that stuff. He was great there. And then, of course, we had the disastrous year in Denver. That doesn't help feed the narrative, because now we actually have a reason to point to his play declining. And then last year, it wasn't going to be, knocking your socks off kind of season, but it wasn't also atrocious. I mean, he wasn't the only problem by any means under that Sean Payton offense. And so he finds himself in Pittsburgh now, and I think that it makes all the sense in the world for both sides. But I do think, like you said, we sort of forget the Russell Wilson component of this as well, because we talk so much about the Pittsburgh Steelers' decision to do this and their side. Well, Russell had to choose them, and Russell's not choosing them unless he thinks that he's starting, and unless he feels pretty good about the relationship. And it's going to be an interesting one, because Mike Tomlin doesn't seem like the kind of coach who's going to bow down and hand the keys to the kingdom over to Russell Wilson.
Players
so from
like
that personality
him, but he's no
perspective,
nonsense.
It'll be interesting. He's very no nonsense, Mike Tomlin. Yeah. Maybe that'll be good ultimately.
I think it's a great fit for Russell Wilson, because he goes to an organization that is stable. He goes to an organization that has a coach who is respected and is in charge of that locker room. Great ownership, obviously, the Rooney family there in Pittsburgh. He also goes to a team that, without any kind of passing game, won 10 games this year. They won 10 games this year, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And their three-headed monster, which wasn't exactly forming Voltron, was Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. Amber, no quarterback in the last two seasons, since 2022, minimum 20 starts, no quarterback threw fewer touchdown passes than Kenny Pickett's 13. Russell Wilson this past year had 26 just this year for a 10-win team that couldn't throw the ball down the field. They're not expecting Russell Wilson to come in there and sling it all over the place. They just need a competent quarterback who's not going to turn the football over. And you know what? Russell Wilson this past year, he was a competent enough quarterback who did not turn the football over.
13 is Kenny Pickett's career total. In 2023, that man threw six touchdown passes. Russell Wilson threw, three times or more than that? I mean, the production that you're going to get out of Russell Wilson, just from his existence, even if you only get this Sean Payton Denver Broncos version of Russell Wilson already.
Still so much better.
You've increased your production tenfold. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN's NFL analyst, was on the Pat McAfee show today, and he said Russell Wilson was a lot better last season than people realize.
Russell Wilson last year, in the midst of chaos and not great offensive line play and, skill position players that weren't healthy all the time, was a top 10, top 12 quarterback for most of the season. And if you just take last year and you get that Russell Wilson, and I would say that Pittsburgh – as an offense in totality is a better situation. The offensive line is going to be better than it was in Denver. And the skill position people are definitely better than they were in Denver. Then you're going to get a team that last year was 10-7. That's worth two more wins. And that's just the truth. And so I don't understand the discourse around Russell Wilson.
Now, Russell Wilson, he was sacked a ton. Some of that is his fault. I think he was sacked like 45 times last year. Kenny Pickett was sacked less than half that amount of times last year. So we'll see what it looks like when he's got a better line, better protection, like you said, a more solid organization around him, a coach that is well respected by players, and a coach that, by the way, suffers a lot of that backlash from fans in the same way that Russell Wilson does. Like, weirdly, Pittsburgh Steelers fan, it's the strangest thing. None of us outside of Pittsburgh get it, but in Pittsburgh, they are adamant about the fact that Tomlin is not as good as all the rest of us think, that all the rest of us have been fooled, and on the inside looking out, that he's not nearly as good. He gets a lot of that. All of us, the rest of us are over here like, what? We'd kill for Mike Tomlin to be our coach. Like, what are you talking about? But Russell Wilson obviously suffers some of that also from a reputation perspective. Maybe they can relate to one another and make magic there in Pittsburgh.
It's funny because Orlovsky says there that he thinks Russell Wilson was probably a top 12 quarterback this past season. And on the surface, when you hear that, You know, like my first thought was that can't possibly be true. Like
that's too high. That's crazy.
Like I don't think Russell Wilson was what most people made him out to be last year, but top 12, I'm not sure that I can make that argument. And then I look at the teams last year, and I think you might be right. I think Russell Wilson may be somewhere around number 12 in the league last season. I think he's actually right.
People were really quiet about Russell Wilson last year, and I always had a theory on it because people were so loud the year before. And I remember all the shows that I was doing over the summer in the off season leading up to last season. So everybody was convinced that Russell Wilson was done. I mean, I felt like I was the only person. I remember having these arguments on First Take. I think I had these arguments with Orlovsky, frankly, but I remember having these arguments on First Take and everywhere else where I kept saying he can't be this bad. Like we've never seen somebody fall off a cliff in NFL history like this. Certainly you can decline, obviously you can decline, but not after this long. You know, like the RG3s of the world that end up sort of falling off a cliff, or the Cam Newtons of the world, but they don't have the career Russell did in terms of the longevity leading up to that point. And yet we saw it in a single season under Nathaniel Hackett, and he falls off a cliff. I'm like, it can't be this bad. And it wasn't this bad, but a lot of those people were real quiet last season because they were wrong about Russell Wilson. He did have something left in the tank.
I'm going to be rooting for Russell Wilson next year. I'm rooting for that situation to work itself out there in Pittsburgh. I like Mike Tomlin a lot. I'm going to be rooting for Russell Wilson there. I will say, I don't think there's a whole lot of precedent for a quarterback, a starting quarterback, to be on his third team and find any real success. That doesn't happen very often. Now, I will say the only one that comes to my mind, Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner had a lot of success, obviously, with the Rams. Then he flopped real quick with the Giants and then had a lot of success with the Cardinals. Could that be a similar situation with Wilson? A lot of success in Seattle, flops real quick with Denver, and resurrects himself in Pittsburgh. Kurt Warner's the only one I could think of that had success on his third team.
I mean, at some point, when you've played for the respected coaches that are Pete Carroll and Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin, if you're not working out at some point, it's probably on you. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian Zaz filling in, we head to the NBA. Rudy Gobert's punishment, 100. Was it too much?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Here is another basket for AD and a foul. This is one of the best games I've ever seen him play. 24 points, 21 rebounds.
We just got to keep stacking days. Again, the little things, we can't get bored with the details, but more so just us being in our groove and understanding how we got to play.
They show you, they remind you, they're still unique in the way that they play at times relative to the rest of the West. That can be a problem in a playoff series when the game slows down.
Anthony Davis did something last night that we've never seen done before in NBA history. His stat line last night, 27 points, 25 boards, 5 assists, 7 steals, and 3 blocks. No other player in NBA history has ever put up that stat line before. Let's bring in Austin Rivers, ESPN NBA analyst, kind enough to join us here on Amber and Ian with Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. And Austin, thanks so much for your time. Coming off of that historic game by AD, he said that he feels like his Lakers are really hitting a stride. Do you agree? Is there still a stride for this team to hit?
I mean, yeah, we'd have to believe that based off of their success last year. You know, they're able to hit a stride this time around. So, you know, that's perfectly within belief, right? You know, and AD is a guy that we all want to see consistently dominate. We know his talent level. played with him in New Orleans, and the guy was just a marvel to play with and watch every night, go out there and dominate. When he's at his best, you know, he's capable of outplaying every big. Sabonis is the kryptonite, but other than Sabonis, this guy pretty much has his way with everybody, and the stat line you just repeated, you know, was nuts. So it's believable. I mean, this team gets going at the right time. Who knows?
Austin, why don't we get this version? I mean, 27 points, 25 rebounds. That's not going to happen every night, all right? But why don't we get a version close to this more often?
I mean, that's the you know, million-dollar question, you know, because we've seen him do it consistently before. You know, we saw it in the bubble year. He did it, you know, that entire season in New Orleans. He was, I think, like an MVP candidate at one point. You know, so we've seen him have that consistency. It just seems over the past couple of years in Los Angeles, you know, we'd have, you know, a couple good weeks from AD and then a couple bad games and a couple good games. It's kind of been a roller coaster ride. So, you know, that is the question. So I think, you know, what has to happen is, you know, you have to study the good versus the bad and see what he's doing differently. Is he settling too much on his outside shot? Is he getting to the free throw line? You know, how aggressive he is. When I think AD starts inwards and works his way out to the jump shot, that's the best AD you can get. When he's aggressive and tries to get to the basket, get to the free throw line and tries to score, that's the best version of AD. And then that, you know, once you make a couple, you get a couple free throws, that basket starts to get a little bit bigger. I always felt aggressive AD and pissed off AD is best AD. So, you know, hopefully we get a little bit more of that. I think, you know, after that Sacramento game, you could see that a couple games and he comes out and really plays his best basketball. That's what you want to see from AD consistently.
Austin Rivers, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us here. Rudy Gobert, he was fined $100,000. That is a big fine for gesturing to the refs a money sign, implying that maybe they were on the take a bit here. Austin, obviously betting right now, a huge story all across sports. Is that fine too much? Not enough? Were you surprised by it?
I was surprised. It seemed a little excessive to me. You know, $100,000 is, you know, people's salary. You know, if someone told you that they made $100,000, you would maybe pat them on the back and say, that's a lot of money, you know? So to get fined that just for rubbing your hands or fingers together, not knowing the clear meaning, you know, it seems a little much. I think like a $25,000 fine would have got the picture for him. $100,000 just seems a little bit excessive. But, you know, when you put betting or even that in the air, it can kind of get a little weird. I think the NBA wanted to make an example out of Rudy. You know, obviously they've had their fair share of blame, and you know, there's been controversy with the refs in the past with that, obviously the Tim Donaghy story. So I think even, you know, gesturing that at a ref, you know, that sometimes can get, you know, a little hazy. So I think they just try to make an example. But $100,000 for me is just, it's just a lot of money to fine a player.
Austin, how aware, because gambling is so prevalent in all of our major sports now, how aware is today's NBA player of gambling odds and all that kind of stuff?
I mean, they're aware of it. A lot of guys, I mean, you know, don't even, you know, some guys don't try to pay attention to it, but obviously they're aware. I mean, every time you go to your Instagram or your Twitter, someone's talking about how you messed up their parlay or how you messed up their betting. You know, we don't give it, you know, a damn about people losing their money, quite frankly. But, you know, it is what it is. It's all around us. It's only going to get more and more popular. Obviously, football, it's been a huge thing, DraftKings and amongst other things. And now you're seeing that start to expand more. Obviously, the NBA's in on it, and everybody's in on it at this point. But players are aware of it. You know, it's not something that's talked about within locker rooms, from my experience at least. But, you know, it's out there. It's around.
It used to just be messing or yelling at players for messing up their fantasy team, and now they're yelling at players for messing up their parlays as well, right?
Yeah.
Austin Rivers joining us here on Amber and Ian Zaslow, filling in for Ian tonight. The San Antonio Spurs, Austin, have allowed 120 points per 100 possessions when Wemby is on the bench, and only 112 when he plays. That makes them equivalent to the sixth-ranked team defense. Wembanyama is not going to win Defensive Player of the Year because that never comes from a team as bad as the Spurs are, but he could actually be in consideration for that award, and that's not even talking about, obviously, what he does offensively. How do you feel witnessing Wemby so far?
You know, he's been great. You know, for someone who's had so much hype and publicity around him, you know, it'd be very hard for a player to keep his mind right and, you know, not get caught up in certain things. And been a lot of distractions for this kid to fall back on, and it just seems he just continues to just get better and get more comfortable out there. It's going to help when he's surrounded by good players. I mean, the team he plays for right now is horrendous. They're just really bad. There's just no other way to put it. He needs a point guard next to him. That's first and foremost where they need to start. I like Kelvin Johnson. I think he could be a wing that they could keep. But everybody, you know, other than that, you know, they need help at every position. But I think nothing more prevalent than the point guard position. They need a guy that can help them set up. I mean, you look at Webby's numbers defensively, he's a menace. He uses his length, his size. You know, and on offense, he's a guy that dominates. You can only imagine if he had a point guard helping him set up, getting easier points. In addition to all the great things that he does, you know, his numbers would probably be, you know, even scarier. Probably be averaging 25 points a game, you know what I mean? And putting up even better numbers if you had a point guard around him. So I think that's got to be San Antonio's focus when we talk about draft or trades or whatever they're going to go into the preseason, postseason and free agency. You know, that's got to be, you know, a focus. I talked about this on my pod, the Off Guard podcast the other day. I think San Antonio even thought they had more time with this window of Wimby. And obviously he has a long career ahead of him, but I don't even think they expected him to be this great this early to where, you know, maybe this is like a 2-3 year window down the road where they, you know, start to add pieces next to him. I think you start now. I mean, they need to start right now. He's already really that good. You know, he is going to be rookie of the year, which says a lot considering how good Chet Holmgren's played on a winning team. But, you know, Victor's just been so special. So, you know, that's got to be a focus. He needs help. He needs guys to get him easy buckets. You know, they're putting Jeremy Sochan or Sochan, whatever his last name is. They're putting him at the point guard spot. He's like a four energy guy. You know what I mean? Like they've experimented different things, but they need a point guard, a real one. So someone that can really help him, you know, make his job easier.
Austin, I want to ask you here about one of your former clubs, the LA Clippers. You know, yesterday they played for the second day in a row. They played an early afternoon game, and they lost to the Bucks. Ty Lue spoke about it after the game, how the schedule is very extreme. And normally, I'll push back on that kind of stuff, you know, with the back-to-backs and the players playing, you know, the load management and all of it. But I think it's probably a real thing, Austin, with the Clippers, right? Because they're the third tenant in that building. They're behind the Lakers. They're behind the Kings. They're behind any concerts that get scheduled, you know, by the Crypto.com arena. So is there some validity to that complaint there from Ty Lue?
For sure. I mean, that's the reason why Steve Ballmer wanted to build that new arena. You know, he wanted to get them out of there just because they always get the third straw, the last straw. You know, every time we have a game on the day where the Lakers are playing, you know, we always have to wait for them or wait for their game, or they'd get the nighttime game and we'd have to play at 1 p.m. It's always the least convenient thing to be a Clipper in Los Angeles. So, you know, despite their team being much better than the Lakers right now. So it's definitely frustrating. You know, my pops went through that when he was there. You remember he covered the banners up and now it's a thing there. He was a part of changing that culture. And it seems like obviously now that culture will be full front when they get into their new arena next season, which would be exciting for them, as I'm sure. You know, the schedule's grueling. It's 82 games. You know, it is what it is. Everybody goes through it. Everybody plays the same amount of games. Everybody has the same home and away. So it's hard for everybody. You know what I mean? They built this team vastly, you know, older guys who are injury prone. So you're just going to have to live and die with that.
And they have been doing that for years now. Austin Rivers, ESPN NBA analyst. Thanks, Austin.
Thanks, Austin.
I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys, man. Have a good one.
Arena sharing is weird. It's just weird. It's not going to be, it's not a concept that's going to benefit in the end both teams from a fan pair perspective. Of course, one's going to end up winning, right?
Well, and they're third. The LA Kings get priority ahead of the LA Clippers. They're third in that building. Yeah. And they're, I mean, I've seen some of the renderings for that new building that Steve Ballmer's having built for next season. What's it? Intuit Arena?
Oof, yeah. It's ridiculous. That's a something. That is a something.
I think that's actually how Steve Ballmer described it. Someone asked him, what do you think about it? He goes, it's a something.
It's a something. Isn't that the one, too, where his whole focus is bathrooms? I think
yeah,
that's Steve Ballmer's whole thing.
Yes. Per capita, there's a lot of toilets.
I appreciate that so much, particularly as a woman, because the female experience at sporting events, I think, ends up being so much worse than men, because there's never not a line at the women's restroom. And for a man to now have a stadium where he has thought, I should put in more bathrooms. Thank you, Steve. I'm not a Clippers fan. Maybe I'll look into it, though.
All right. So if you go to a Clipper game at the new building, you're a lock to try out the new restrooms.
Exactly. You know
what?
Maybe I'll choose. Next time I'm in Los Angeles, maybe I'll choose to go to a Clippers game instead of a Lakers game just because I know I will have easy access to restrooms.
Why'd you choose the Clipper game over Lakers? You know what? I wanted to use the
bathrooms.
Toilet.
Listen, it's more serious than it sounds. Coming up next year on Amber and Ian, Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Zaslow's filling in for Ian tonight. Zaslow and I are both, of course, Miami Dolphins fans.
Ah, we got killed today.
Yeah, so we have to tell you how sad we are about the Dolphins. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Zaslow's filling in for Ian. We are very sad, me and Zaslow. We are sad Miami Dolphins fans today. It has been a mass exodus today in the league legal tampering period, the 52-hour window that leads us to free agency in the NFL. We will get into the bloodbath that has been this Monday for the Miami Dolphins in just a moment. But first, let's get you updated on some championship-level basketball on ESPN right now. You've got the Sun Belt Championship. Second-ranked James Madison is up on fourth-ranked Arkansas State, 42-32. That game is at the half. In the SoCon Championship, that game you can watch on ESPN, too. Number one, Samford is up on 7th-ranked ETSU, 29-27. There's about 7 minutes left in the first half of that game. So we'll continue to keep you updated on all of the college basketball championship action. But Zaslow, a sad day. Now, I didn't even realize as we led into this day that the Dolphins had the worst cap situation in the NFL, which I don't know why I didn't realize that.
I mean, there's a bunch of teams. I mean, the Dolphins are cap compliant now because they actually just restructured Jalen Ramsey's contract. But, I mean, there's a bunch of teams who went into this week. They were like $40 million, or last week they were like $40 million over the cap. The Dolphins were one of them. And part of the Dolphins' problem is they want to extend, we're assuming, they want to extend Tua this offseason. So, yeah. You look at the landscape, what happened today. Now, look, the Dolphins did just sign Seahawks linebacker Jordan Brooks to a 3-year, $30 million deal. I'm pretty sure that's a good signing for the Dolphins. He'll essentially replace Jerome Baker, who was one of the cap casualties for them. But it's a bloodbath today for the Dolphins, especially on the defensive side.
The Baker casualty happened even before today. He had tweeted out, how am I going to get fired on my day off? But then he said, you know, like, but for real, you know, nothing but love Miami or whatever. He was funny about it. Van Ginkle, Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt. And these names, Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt, those men got paid. And I mean, paid by the Raiders and the Panthers. And when I saw the numbers of what they're getting paid, I'm like, all right,
I almost fell out of my seat with the Robert Hunt one. I mean, $100 million, $65 million guaranteed. I almost fell out of my seat. The Christian Wilkins one, you understand. My problem, though, with the Wilkins, I hate the idea of letting him leave for nothing. I hate letting him walk for nothing. I understand.
He drafted him in the first round.
That's my point. I understand not wanting to pay a defensive tackle not called Chris Jones or not called Aaron Donald the kind of money that these guys are getting. I get that. The part that I don't get is 5 years ago when the Dolphins are rebuilding and they're going to spend a first-round pick to begin the rebuild with Christian Wilkins, if he's going to perform as such on his rookie deal, that second contract is going to command him being paid like this, you would assume, hey, that's a good thing. That means we selected a guy who is worth this kind of money. So I don't agree with the idea of selecting a guy at the beginning of your rebuild and then choosing not to pay him for that second contract because it was too rich for your blood. Like, now
when you hit on it. When you hit on
when
the
you
guy.
Hit on
you
it.
Hit on the guy. Yeah.
When you hit on it. And so I understand not wanting to pay D-tackle, which is not a premier position. Again, unless it's Chris Jones, unless it's Aaron Donald. I get that. But if that's the case, then I don't want to select a defensive tackle in the first round at the beginning of a rebuild. That's the point that I make then.
Yeah, the Raiders think it's a pretty premier position, apparently. They're paying him 4 years, a $110 million deal. So Wilkins and Robert Hunt both getting north of $100 million when they walk away from Miami. You mentioned
Dolphins also lost Brandon Jones today. We know Xavien Howard hasn't signed anywhere, but they're losing him. Van Ginkle went to Minnesota.
Gone.
Jerome Baker gone. I mean, it's ugly.
It's bad. And then they've restructured a bunch of contracts. Zach Seiler, Alec Ingold, Durham Smythe, the Jalen Ramsey
most
conversion.
Most importantly, Ramsey, yeah.
Right, that clears almost $29 million in cap space. They did, and then Teron Armstead's adjustment also is going to go into effect here, and that will clear even more cap space. I did confirm that the Dolphins headed into today on Monday did, in fact, have the worst cap situation this morning in the entire NFL.
Yeah,
so Chris Greer
I think they
makes,
fixed it now, yeah.
Yeah, very much so. They're under the cap now. So Chris Greer makes quick work of it and gets under the cap. But a day like today sucks for a Dolphins fan. It just does. And I saw, you know, I saw a lot, because you and I follow everybody in Dolphins Nation, obviously, as Dolphins fans and as people who also worked in the Miami
I don't follow
market,
everybody. I don't give out follows just for being alive. I don't follow everybody. You got to earn a follow out of me.
All right, let's see how many people. Jonathan Zaslow at Zaslow
you gotta
Show
earn it.
On social media. You follow. Oh, you only follow 494
That's right.
people.
You got to earn
494
it.
494 people that you want to hear from on Twitter?
I mean, I don't throw out a follow. I don't throw out a follow all willy nilly. How many do you follow over there? You're following thousands of people.
739. No,
that's almost
739.
Double. Yeah. No.
Well, I got people to follow, man. I mean, 434. I feel like that's like ESPN alone. You're probably following 400.
You follow me before I don't follow you. You follow me.
No, that's not true. You follow me as well. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. At Zaslow Show is how you find him. But I saw a lot of people across Dolphins Nation today just say, you know, Dolphins can't have nice things and the window is closed. And I thought, so the window's closed. Well, like, what the hell was the window? The window was just making a postseason, wild card was the damn window? Like, that was the goal?
No, I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that. The goal is to be a team that contends every single year, not a team that contended for the last two seasons. No, so I don't believe that there's any window that's closed. If you're a competent franchise, which the Dolphins have been moving toward over the last few years, if you're a competent franchise and you have really good quarterback play, I know everybody wants a bust on Tua. He led the NFL in passing this year, all right? And he's got really good weapons. So if you have a really good offense and you have at least a competent front office and a head coach, there's no window that's closing now. I mean, is it possible to take a step back next season? I understand the Dolphin fans frustrated today because, yes, the Dolphins are definitely the biggest loser today. But also, Amber, it's important to point out, it's really rare, really, really rare that the teams that spend all of this money at the start of free agency, heck, the Dolphins have been that team. The team that spends all of this money at the start of free agency, that they wind up looking back like, man, that's why we won the Super Bowl. Like, when you look back at it, there's really only a couple of guys who you say, hey, we signed that guy to a huge contract in free agency, and he helped lead us to a Super Bowl. Like, Reggie White is one of them when he left Philadelphia and went to Green Bay, and, like, Deion Sanders is another one. Those two guys, big money, huge free agent, helped lead their team to a Super Bowl. Otherwise, it does not happen very often.
I agree with you, and you can't put all your hopes and dreams into a guy, and you are trying to build a championship-winning organization, but they're the biggest losers, and I don't just mean saying that, you know, like, hey, you're a loser. No, I mean, there is no team that lost more players on the first day of NFL free agency here with the legal tampering period than our Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
So, yes, yeah, it sucks. And, I'm looking at the contract, and yes, do I want to play Robert Hunt $100 million when I'm seeing the Panthers dish out that kind of money? And is it a bad thing when you see bad teams overpay your players? You know, probably not, right? And there's probably a lot of justification that you can do, and you can kind of understand where Chris Greer is coming from to an extent. But it's also, as a Dolphins fan, hard to believe that we're going to be better when you've now lost a whole bunch of key pieces on defense and also our fancy defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I just don't like the strategy of just, you drafted Wilkins first round, he's good enough to get a second contract, and you chose, you know, a little bit too rich for our blood. If he's commanding a lot of money, it means you hit on that pick. I don't like having him walk.
Yeah, and they absolutely did hit on that pick. I just got word, by the way, you do not follow James Steele on Twitter.
Oh, you got to earn it, baby.
Increase your followers. Coming up next,
what do I
more
do
on today's
here?
Free agent frenzy.